Talking benefits.
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 Talking.
Talking.
Talking
benefits.
You're listening to Talking Benefits, the podcast brought to you by the International Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans. Every month, we dive into retirement, healthcare, hot topics and trends, and whatever else the benefits industry throws at us. I'm Justin Held.
I'm Julie Stick.
I'm Ann Patterson.
Let's talk benefits.
Welcome back, everyone. We are happy to be here for the April episode of the Talking Benefits podcast. And in preparing for this month's episode, I did a quick analysis of some of the topics that we've covered over the previous year, including the loneliness epidemic, family forming benefits, mental health, caregiving, artificial intelligence and benefits. The list goes on and on. And in doing so, I noted that we have been lacking in the area of workplace financial education initiatives.
Yes. So we are going to do a quick check-in at some new trends in this area, because who doesn't love a good adventure into the world of financial education, especially when it's something that truly impacts so many workers? I will mention that we also referenced our trusty calendar of national benefits-related holidays and found that April is National Financial Capability Month, which was formerly known as National Financial Literacy Month. So it is perfect timing.
For this episode, we will be highlighting five trends in this area. Some of these were covered in previous episodes, so we'll be providing updates. However, we will be addressing some new topics as well. As usual, you'll notice some common themes throughout. Just a final note that I am not a financial professional, nor are my fellow Pod Squad members. We'll be covering some trends and providing some high-level best practices, but not advice. So with that, let's get started.
The first trend that I wanted to address was financial concerns based on life stage. We found some great insights from a study from Lincoln Financial Group that sets the stage on what we're going to be discussing today. The survey broke data down by respondent generations: baby boomers, age 59 to 77, Generation X, age 43 to 58, millennials, age 27 to 42, and Generation Z, aged 18 to 26. The 2024 Financial Concerns Report provided a number of key takeaways. The first and most prominent takeaway is that inflation is the top financial concern across all generations. Beyond that, there were some specific nuances that surfaced within each group that we also found very interesting.
Yeah, this was fascinating. This was a good study to find, Justin. So first off, Generation Z is the only generation that cited paying for my education expenses / student loan debt as a top three concern at 48%, followed by whether their income will be enough to keep up with rising costs of living. Millennials, also, I recently heard that members of the Spice Girl generation is also a new term for millennials, which really resonated with me. But millennials, you know, have faced several economic challenges throughout their lifetime. They are the most concerned generation overall, particularly when it comes to finding affordable housing. So this came in at 52%, and paying for childcare, which came in at 37%. This group also had saving enough for retirement as a top three concern. And this trend is repeated among the respondents from Generation X, who were the most concerned about having enough income in retirement. That makes sense, as the oldest in this generation is approaching 60. And finally, the baby boomer generation were most worried about inflation and whether their income would keep up with rising costs of living.
So I looked at that study too, and I also found it interesting that the baby boomer generation were the only generation to cite protecting myself against identity theft, cybersecurity, fraud, etc., in their top three concerns. So I did a deeper dive into why cyber predators may be targeting baby boomers at a higher rate. Speaking generally, they may have limited digital literacy, typically also have higher levels of accumulated wealth. The key takeaway here is to ensure that your financial education offerings reflect the diverse nature of your workforce.
So moving on to the second trend, credit counseling, namely what can be done from an employer perspective. As our listeners are aware, debt and overspending are substantial barriers to financial freedom for workers. And one of our staff members recently attended the EBRI Financial Wellness Summit. And as part of that event, there was a fireside chat with Michelle Singletary, who writes the nationally syndicated personal finance column, The Color of Money, in the Washington Post.
credit counseling has been around for a while, but Michelle discussed the more recent notion of employers partnering with nonprofit credit counseling agencies so workplaces can help workers sign up for one-on-one sessions and even go as far as offering private meeting space during work hours. This seems like a very effective benefit that would require a limited amount of resources to implement.
Yeah, that's right, Ian. Now, the third trend that we'll be covering sort of piggybacks off of this concept and takes it a step further. This is the concept of financial therapy, which recognizes the connection between financial stress and mental health. According to an employee benefit news article from last July, financial therapy goes beyond traditional financial planning or advice. Financial therapists are trained to help workers explore their emotional relationship with money, identify unhealthy financial behaviors, and develop healthier money habits.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting concept. According to research by BrightPlan, which is a financial wellness platform, 72% of individuals say that their finance impact their mental health. In addition, half of respondents noted that financial stress negatively impacts their workforce engagement, while 48% noted that it impacts their productivity. So this concept takes the notion of a CFP, or Certified Financial Planner, and expands it into the CFT, or Certified Financial Therapist concept. And as Julie mentioned, it combines those fundamentals of financial planning with mental health training to address the actual root causes of financial distress.
This reminds me a little bit about a new trend that I heard about. It started on TikTok, of course, but it's known as loud budgeting, and it's basically shifting how we think about spending. So it's a financial strategy that puts your money aspirations front and center for friends and family to see. That way you have people to hold you accountable and you don't feel pressured to join in like on a fancy dinner or something because your friends are aware of your savings goals. That's just an example, but it's somewhat related to how we're thinking and framing the way we talk about financial
goals. Yeah, I saw that they were talking, Ian, weren't they, about like you can say if someone invites you to something really expensive, you can say, nope, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm saving money for something else.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of destigmatizes that and helps you set boundaries.
So Anne's going to have boots on the ground on those TikTok trends, which we will update you in the future.
We'll let her know about that. Yeah. Yes.
And again, this is just something that we're going to be keeping an eye on going forward. And the fourth trend that we're going to be covering is the increasing number of retirement plan participants that have taken loans from their 401k plans. A recent article from CNBC takes a closer look into these trends, which suggests that households are borrowing more due to inflationary pressure.
And according to the article, about 2.6% of Empower savers, and this is roughly 138,000 people, took a loan from their workplace plan in the first quarter of 2023. And this was up from 2.3% in the third quarter of 2022 and up from 1.7% in 2020. Fidelity cited similar figures. In total, about 17.6% of their clients have an outstanding 401k plan loan.
And in addition to the higher percentage of those borrowing, the average amount of 401k loans has increased. The average worker took a $15,000 loan in 2022, which is up from about $10,000 in 2018, according to the Plan Sponsor Council of America.
And I'll just make a note here that according to the article, there are a few circumstances where a 401k loan makes some financial sense. For example, if the loan provides a lifeline to an essential expense such as a medical expense or in an instance where the worker is trying to avoid a different high interest debt. And conversely, there are several downsides to these loans, including for those with insecure employment situations, as well as the obvious impact on your long-term retirement savings.
And again, this is something that we'll keep an eye on, all of this trend data, as these loan rates are a key indicator of the health of the economy, as well as the financial status of you and your participants. So finally, the fifth and final trend we're digging into is in a similar vein. It's the number of workers that are living paycheck to paycheck and efforts that can be made to alleviate the struggles that occur in these circumstances.
That's right, Anne. Another key indicator is the number of Americans that are living on a shoestring budget. A brand new report by FinFit and HR Dive Studio ID took a deep dive into those who are living paycheck to paycheck. This report noted that 3 out of 4 workers are living that way. And as a result, 60% are experiencing stress and anxiety when thinking about their finances. Nearly three quarters said they do not have cash buffers or liquid savings. Now, from an employer's perspective, we know that this worry comes with an employee into their workday in the form of distractions, interruptions, presenteeism, and maybe absenteeism, all of which can negatively impact performance and productivity.
So what actions can be taken by workers that are in this predicament? From an individual perspective, creating a budget and saving goals, taking advantage of your employer-sponsored matches and your retirement plans, as well as avoiding lifestyle creep. Obviously, these steps are easier said than done, but over time, small steps can absolutely go a long way. And more importantly, from a listener perspective, what actions can be taken by the employer to assist their workers in overcoming these situations?
That is definitely a good question, Justin. The International Foundation has a wide variety of resources. I encourage our listeners to check out our Financial Education and Retirement Security Toolkit. This toolkit can be accessed at ifebp.org/retirement security. And it's packed full of resources for both your plan participants as well as individuals. The toolkit includes e-learning courses, webcasts, survey reports, blog posts, checklists, articles, videos, and more.
And speaking of checklists, I would direct our listeners to our financial education program checklist. It includes 44 questions across 8 separate categories to consider as you build or expand your workplace financial education programs. There's a ton here, but I wanted to note a few of these questions that may be the most applicable. So one is, have you assessed your worker needs and preferences? Two, have you established the objectives for your program? Are they specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-specific?
That's right, and I'm just looking at that list now, and there's a few others that I'd like to mention quickly. Is the program content relevant to the target audience and practical? Have you decided whether the program will be mandatory or voluntary? Have you considered incentives to encourage program participation? Are you marketing the program to other members of the learner's household? And finally, do you have a plan for measuring the impact of the program on your organization? Some of these metrics include absenteeism, payroll advances, plan loans, worker productivity levels, etc.
Yes, we would strongly encourage our listeners to access this checklist, as well as the broader Financial Education and Retirement Security Toolkit. Getting started on a discussion with employees on financial well-being can seem daunting, but why not take the first step and grow it from there?
Yes. Thanks, Julie. And thank you all for listening. Our shout out this month is Jenny Gartman and her team for all the work they did on this month's episode. And with that, we'll talk to you all next month. It was an article where it said members of the Spice Girls generation cited that blah, blah, blah. It's just like, oh, my God, that's us, members of the Spice Girls generation.
No, I think then, we are. Like, I was in a restaurant or the grocery store or something like a couple of months ago. And like a deep cut from that album, that first album came out. And I was like, found myself singing along. I was like, why do I think?
That was at the end of the tape. Yeah. But then a bunch of people from Gen X commented, what about us? What about us? Because like they all loved the Spice Girls. You know, that was also part of their generation.
My first CD purchase was the first NSYNC album.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, let's do that. First CD purchase. Go.
The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. First CD purchase.
I don't know, Justin, what was your first CD?
Weezer's Blue Album was my first CD.
That's a good one.
Good choice. Yours?
See, I bought 45s, and then I bought albums, and then I bought CDs. It was probably Casey and the Sunshine Band or something.
Oh,
like
good
that.
One. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably something.
I'll allow it.
You know, Bobby Sherman had the song, Julie, Do You Love Me? Oh. That was like a really
was
big
that your
one
anthem? Your personal anthem?
Because I did yell out, I do, because I did love Bobby. So when he would sing, Julie, Do You Love Me?
He was calling response.